The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen.
Amen.
What is confession? Well, that all depends, doesn't it? For in the Lutheran Church, we use that word confession very frequently, but with two very different meanings. In the Catechism, obviously, confession means an admission of sin, an acknowledgement of guilt in the form of God's justice. But there's another meaning to that word, used very frequently around here at the SEM, where we're always talking about the Lutheran confessions. Formal statements, if you will, some short, some long, but which together define doctrinally what it means to be a Lutheran. So, in this context, the answer to the question, what is confession, really means to stand up and say what you believe and are willing to die for. Just as Luther made clear in the preface to the Schmalkald Articles, I have decided to publish these articles so that if I should die before a council meets, those who live after me may have my testimony and confession to show where I have stood until now and where, by God's grace, I will continue to stand. Now, it's no small thing to confess in this second way, and on one of the key events in either your ordination or your installation service occurs when you make the Lutheran confessions your own and say, in effect, this is what I believe, teach, and confess. Confession, in this sense, goes right back to the beginning. St. Paul taught the Romans, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Now, Lutherans always emphasize the latter, the heart and faith, because a right relationship with God is a matter of the heart, the real you, that rests completely in God's love and mercy. But here the apostle is teaching us that such faith in the heart inevitably produces a confession on the lips. It is simply impossible for someone really to believe without saying so loud and clear for others to hear also. So, confession, in the sense of publicly acknowledging that Jesus is Lord and everything that that simple statement entails, this is an essential element of Christianity. Christianity, Christians confess Christ. But now, what about that other kind of confession? The kind referred to in the Catechism question, the one mentioned explicitly in this morning's scripture reading, if we confess our sins. Is that kind of confession also important? Well, absolutely. And it is just as essential to Christianity as the other. For if we say that we have not sinned, we make God a liar, and his word is not in us. So, to be a Christian means not only to maintain a conviction about Jesus, but also to say something very important, indeed basic, about yourself. I am a sinner. Maybe even a poor, miserable sinner. Now, occasionally some people object to that way of putting it, you know, in the beginning of our worship service. After all, they say, I don't always feel so poor and miserable while I am reciting those words. But that misses the point. For the confession of sins is not a statement about how you feel, but about who you really are, a poor, miserable sinner. An object of pity because of the pervasive quality of sin that affects everything that you do, say, think. Whether you feel it or not, you are a sinner. Now, for everybody, such a confession is easier at some times than it is at others. But you know, it seems especially difficult for modern people. People like you and me. They just don't think this way about themselves. They may have problems, but they don't describe them as sin. They tend to think of themselves as pretty good, self-sufficient, capable of dealing with most things that life throws at them. And in those times when they can't, well, then maybe it's a question of circumstances. They belong to the group, wrong group, or they live in the wrong place, or maybe they just haven't gotten the right breaks the way others have. But then, too, if they recognize that something is wrong with themselves, I mean, not really wrong, but something that gets in the way of their achieving all of their goals and ambitions, well, then society comes along and offers all kinds of help, all kinds of programs, ways to cope, or maybe even to change their lives so that they can get more of what life has to offer. Even health problems, problems that always catch up to men at one point or another, even those problems are treated just as, well, a part of a natural process. Nothing to be feared, even if painful, even if leading to death. As they sing in The Lion King, it's all a part of the circle of life. Maybe regrettable, but unavoidable. That's just the way that nature works. But sin? Sin as the cause of death? Sin as an ultimate reality that describes every one of us? Sin as the cause of a condemnation before God as worthy of hell? People won't buy it. People won't believe it. But in the face of all this denial and unbelief, so prominent and characteristic of our own times, the Christian says and confesses, I am a sinner. And without this confession of sin, there really is no point to that other confession that Jesus is Lord. After all, from the first chapter of the New Testament, and a pervasive theme thereafter, is the angel told Joseph, you shall call his name Jesus. And why was that? For he will save his people from their sins. Or again, as our reading this morning expresses it, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from every sin. Sin and its consequences were the problem that God's Son entered this world in order to address. This is why God became man. This is why he humbled himself even to the point of death on the cross. Therefore, in a nutshell, the gospel consists of this. He was delivered up for our trespasses and raised again for our justification. Forgiveness of sins is the essence of Christianity, and therefore we're not surprised to find it also at the center of the sacraments. What did Ananias say to that church-persecuting and murderer, Saul of Tarsus? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. And what did our Lord himself say as he instituted the sacrament of the altar? This is my body, given for you. This is my blood, shed for you, for the forgiveness of sins. So it is on account of Christ and his saving work for the forgiveness of sins that pastors can so confidently go about their work of preaching and teaching the word, of baptizing and communing, and yes, also themselves explicitly forgiving sin. You see, they are simply delivering what Christ has accomplished, what Christ has already earned. For a confession of sins, however essential to Christianity, does not make you a Christian. Only forgiveness does that. The forgiveness that Christ has won fully and grants freely. So, what is confession? Confession has two parts. First, that we confess our sins, and second, that we receive absolution. That is forgiveness from the pastor as from God himself, not doubting, but firmly believing that by it our sins are forgiven before God in heaven. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.